Well, we've got a full house tonight. We welcome everyone out. I am the former mayor, Kurt Osler. I'm excited tonight to see as we are here to swear in and take the oath of our new city council and mayor, as well as we have a lot of our new youth council here. So we're excited for tonight, and I appreciate all the family that's come out to support the candidates, or those who are going to be taking office. We're going to begin tonight's meeting with an invocation. We have our invocation by our current council member, Kim Rodella, and then we want you to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be done by a council member, Doug Courtney. So at this time, we'll turn the time over.
Our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be gathered here today as a community of Highland City. We're especially grateful for the opportunity to be able to swear in our new council members and also our youth council as well. We're grateful for the area in which we live in, for the residents that live here, for the service that is rendered every day by our public officials and by our staff. In this moment, we'd like to ask you to be able to help guide us and make the right decisions that we need to make in order to progress as a city. And we say these things humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Now, please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
Well, as we have our youth council here, I want you to know that you're going to be the youth council of the best city in Utah, probably in the whole world. And so welcome. So, and those who are also, we have some great elected officials that we're going to be doing. We also have our judge here tonight. We have Kelly Schaefer Bullock. If you've not heard her, she's going to be doing the one that's going to be given the oath of office. We will first do the oath of office for mayor and city council, and then we'll invite after that the youth council to come up for the oath of office. So at this time, I'm going to turn over. If you've not ever heard Judge Bullock talk and the love she has for the country, it's going to be a treat for you. So I'll turn the time over to the judge.
Did this, I was told I have to stay at the microphone. Is that right? Okay. That's always hard for me. I'm going to ask really quickly whom here has heard me speak before? Okay, we've got quite a few hands. I'm just going to ask, and you, Chief William, hear me more often than most, I think. But have I spoken to this group about Culloden before? Okay, I have. All right. This is hard. We only had a few hands, but I never like to repeat myself. So I'm going to pivot just for a minute. One of the reasons why I like to address everyone before the taking of the oath is because it's really important, in my opinion, to remember what it took for us to reach this point. This is really exciting. I swear this group gets bigger every time we have a youth council to be sworn in, which says wonderful things about the people who run the program, but it also says wonderful things about the community, about the parent support and the kids who are willing to give their time to something like this. But there are those who have come before. And what they gave up was far more than just time. And it is really important for our youth in particular to understand that there will be those who tell you, look, I'm going to describe the perfect nation for you. And then I'm going to tell you that yours is garbage. What they won't tell you is that countries like people are never perfect. And what they won't tell you is that throughout the history of the world, the majority of human beings have lived under a king, a tyrant, a dictator, a despot. The majority of human history tells us that our country is not normal. This is not the normal state of existence. And what it took for us to be here was extraordinary. And if we forget that people just like the ones sitting in here were the ones responsible for the fact that everyone who is in this room right now is not going to be on their knees at the point of a sword or a gun to swear allegiance to a fallible human being. Because most oaths relating to government throughout world history have been done in that manner. So what did it take so that you will voluntarily, of your own free will, come forward and stand on your feet as free men and women to take an oath not to a fallible person, but to a form of government and ideals that are contained in our founding constitution, the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Utah. And that is an extraordinary thing. But it took so much sacrifice. And it took the blood, the sweat, and the tears of some of the best women and men that the world has ever known. When our nation decided that it was time, we had been colonies for long enough, and ironically, the reason why we declared independence, as Benjamin Franklin said, we had created a new people here. But really, it came down to the fact that they were so English. They knew their rights. And their rights were being taken from them. Their rights were being trampled upon. And because they were so thoroughly English, they knew that they had the God-given right to stand up and say, you know what, we have the right of self-determination. And after all of the pomp and the circumstance and the rejoicing that came in the summer of 1776, immediately thereafter, all it seems the colonials could do was lose. They lost, they fought, they retreated. They fought, they lost, they retreated. And so into the bitter winter months were soldiers not dressed for the winter. Men, if they were lucky, had summer linens that were falling apart. Others, without clothes entirely. And so when George Washington decided that the time had come to make a strike against Trenton, and he did so, as those of you in this room may have heard me say, let's remember, Johann Rall and his German Hessians had never been beaten in battle. That Washington did so with only a third of the men, his timeline having been blown, men that were tired, frozen, hungry. And when they approached Trenton, the men realized all the powder was wet. They were not going to be able to fire a shot. So Washington makes the order. Fix the bayonets. And in they marched. And I will say, some really wonderful academic research has been done recently, because one of the great myths of our great nation is that the Germans were drinking, and that's why we won. And it undercuts the real victory that it was, because Johann Rall actually was withholding alcohol. He knew the colonials were going to come. He didn't know when. And his nerves were fraying with that. So don't ever let anyone say we only won because of that. I can give you some references after if you'd like. But after that battle, Washington knows, I have to make good on this victory. We have to keep this momentum going. But what was happening with the men? Does anybody know? I know we've got Ron Campbell who probably does, but does anybody want to venture a guess if you don't know?
He was losing his army. They had
Their enlistments were up. Their enlistments were up. Now, the men that were with him were the ones who hadn't deserted because so many had already gone home. He was able to keep a small group together, mostly Irish, just for anybody here of Irish descent. I think that burning hatred of the English must have kept them warm. But they remained with him. And the Marbleheaders who rowed him across the frozen river, back in Marblehead, the English were strangling Marblehead. At the end of the war, 80% of the population were widows and orphans. They were so hard hit during the war. But those men were the only ones who would have been able to take Washington and his troops across the river that night. But here are these men. They're tired. They only were able to actually have anything covering most of their naked bodies because the delivery of blankets had come timely. But Washington turns to these men who had to feel like they had nothing left. These were the ones who had already left bloody footprints in the snow, who had already become emaciated with the lack of food, who had lost so many of their compatriots. And these men looked on as Washington addressed them. And Washington had to ask them to stay, to continue to fight, and to continue to be willing to sacrifice even more. He said, "My brave fellows, you have done all I have asked you to do, and more than could reasonably be expected. But your country is at stake. Your wives, your houses, and all that you hold dear. You have worn yourselves out with fatigues and hardships, but we know not how to spare you. If you will consent to stay 1 month longer, you will render that service to the cause of liberty and to your country, which you probably never can do under any other circumstances." These were men who had already given more than the rest of their fellow patriots. It was during this time that you have those critical words from Thomas Paine about the sunshine warrior and the summer patriot shrinking. These were men who knew their wives and their children, for those who were married with children, were at home and at risk, or were camped outside of camp. They hadn't marched with them here, but otherwise they would camp outside and then go searching the battlefield for the bodies of their loved ones. These were people who wanted to protect their loved ones. Staying seemed unfathomable. And for the young men who had made it this far to continue to put their lives at risk, they knew that they may be giving up any future that they could possibly have. But they looked forward. Perhaps they remembered additional words, like the ones from Dr. Joseph Warren, when he told the men before the Battle of Bunker Hill, "Millions yet unborn depend on you." And after a short period of time, one elderly man, half frozen, with his summer linens falling from his body, with ice in his overgrown beard, knew he could not go home while his country still had need of his service, and he stepped forward, shouldering his musket. Drawn by the courage of this elderly man, another stepped forward, and then another, until Washington had his army for 1 month more. At a crucial time, because these were the men who would then march to Princeton and win. Washington was right. It was a critical period. But make no mistake, for us to have the liberties that we do today, each one of us is called to shoulder our musket in our own way. I hope and pray that no one in this room will ever see dire circumstances like those men saw. I don't know what it would take to watch your loved ones marching off to war, or to say goodbye to your loved ones and leave them at home knowing how brutal the soldiers were to the women and children left behind. Make no mistake. They laughed about the court-martials that would readily come from their actions against the women and the children. What would it take for you to have hope, even after losing month after month, battle after battle? But your country still calls to you. After the sacrifice of so many, generation after generation of men and women willing to stand, willing to fight, willing to go overseas and die, willing to be buried, never coming home. Even here, I have a great-great-grandfather, third-great-grandfather. He was from Illinois, and he's buried in Tennessee, having died at the Battle of Lookout Mountain. He never went home, and he left his wife and son. Even here, there are those who are willing to never go home again. Will we betray that sacrifice? How is it that one upholds the oath that is about to be taken? You must know the Constitution. Know your history. Do not be fooled into thinking that somebody who tells you, here is how you get to the ideal, and here's the form of government. Because if you know history and that form of government maybe is responsible for hundreds of millions of people dying, maybe that's not the form of government that you want to bring here. Overthrowing this one. I don't know too many countries where people are willing to swim through shark-infested waters to reach the shores. But this is one. So eyes peer from both directions, from the past and those yet to come. And they look to us. Will you be able to do, as Benjamin Franklin said about our glorious republic? When asked, what form of government have you given us? A republic if you can keep it. We need our youth. We need people who know the Constitution, who love the Constitution, who will uphold the Constitution, who will be able to defend it, but you can't defend it if you don't know what's in it. Again, shouldering your musket may look very different than it has in the past, but the sacrifice will be no less to those who come, those who are anxiously awaiting to see if we can keep it. And so when the invitation is given, remember, you have a choice. You don't have to come forward and take this oath if you don't want to. No one's going to make you. But if you do, be ever so grateful for the people who rest under the earth so you can stand on top and take the oath as free men and women. Thank you. All right, I will now invite the new mayor, Brittany Bills, to come forward to take the oath. And I understand there's a Bible, but is that only for one person? It's a family Bible? Okay. All right. If you will please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Brittany P. Bills.
I, Brittany P. Bills.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support,
obey, and defend,
obey and defend
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge,
and that I will discharge
the duties of my office,
the duties of my office,
with fidelity,
with fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
I talked to the youth earlier, and I'll just reiterate what I said to them earlier was how much we appreciate your attendance. The reason I got into local government initially is because I think the local government matters. I think the decisions that we make matter, and so I'm really looking forward to engaging with the youth, hearing your ideas, and for you parents as well. Would love to hear what you think, would love to hear your thoughts and opinions, and you are always welcome in these chambers at our meetings. That's what it's about.
Thank you. All right, Ron Campbell, if you'll come forward. Councilman. All right, if you'll raise your right hand, please. I, Ron Campbell.
I, Ron Campbell.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right, Elizabeth Ann Rice. I, Elizabeth Ann Rice.
I, Elizabeth Ann Rice.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right, and Scott Smith. I, Scott L. Smith.
I, Scott L. Smith.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend.
Obey and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge.
And that I will discharge.
The duties of my office.
The duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And really quickly, I'd just like to note, if anybody didn't hear what I was whispering, is the Constitution actually only required that the President of the United States give by oath or affirmation. George Washington actually added the words, "So help me God," at the end. Those were not originally in his oath. And so I was asking each if they wanted it in the Washington fashion because it is elective. So they each chose to do that. And I'm going to give our youth the same option. Typically what we do is we have all of the youth come forward and they'll stand here so they're facing their parents, and I will stand with my back to everyone and administer the oath to all of them all at once. So at the end I will say the words, "So help me God," and you have the option to repeat those or not. So please, if our youth will come forward to be sworn. And parents, if you need to move about to take pictures, I think everybody will be understanding and feel free to do what you need to do. All right, and you may want to smush in so everybody can. See you all at once, get you all in the same shot. Okay, perfect. If you'll please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I do solemnly swear
that I will support,
obey, and defend
the Constitution of the United States
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and that I will discharge the duties of my office
with fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, everyone. I will be signing all of these for the Youth Council. I think you each will need to sign yours as well when you get them. So just a heads up, there may be another photo op moment as your child signs their certificate. So thank you, everyone.
We just ask that everyone please stay in their seats. The council is going to be forming up here on the stand. They have a brief motions that they need to do and some consent item. I'd like to invite Mayor Beals to please come up here for a second. This is a very important event that's going to happen that you guys get to see. Here is the key to the city. I hereby give Brittany Beals, Mayor Brittany Beals, the key to the city.
Everybody, if you'll just, youth council, keep your seats, and our city council is going to come up. We have one quick action item that will take just a moment, and then afterwards we have some refreshments for you out in the lobby. So if you can stay, please do for just one quick moment.
Sorry, everybody, that you have to sit through one short meeting. Youth council, you have to attend one meeting during the year. No, this does not count. Am I right? So, sorry, we have, along with our roles on City Council, we also all serve on a variety of boards and commissions, and some of those have timelines associated with them, so they need to be appointments that need to be made tonight. So our council members received all of this information in their packets last week, and we just need to look at these couple of minor adjustments we have to the packet. They're here in front of you and on the screen. Council, once you're comfortable with those, we can take a motion to make these appointments. So if there's no discussion, I'm ready for a motion. Do you have the motion in front of us? Would you, Doug?
I move to adopt the appointments as included in the agenda packet with the changes made here, specifically including the Central Utah 911 and the Lone Peak Public Safety District resolutions. Oh, and the North Utah Valley Animal Shelter Board resolution.
Okay. Okay, if there's no discussion, we can take a second.
I'll second that.
Perfect. We've got the motion by Councilmember Courtney with the second by Councilmember Campbell, and we'll go ahead and start with Councilmember Rodella.
Yes.
Dr. Smith?
Yes.
Councilmember Courtney?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Councilmember Rice, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, and that motion passes 5-0. That's all we need to talk about. One quick just information item for council. I just wanted to remind you that our next meeting on the 20th, we're going to be talking about our Highland General Plan. And just for your information, it's not going to be a formal, long presentation by staff. So if you have any comments or suggestions, let us know before then. We would love to have any of you in the public join us as well. Our general plan is something we've been working on for almost a year. It's our plan for the city going forward. So we would love any comments or questions or input you have. And Dr. Smith, you will be happy to know the postcards have been mailed and resident input is being solicited for that meeting on the 20th. So that's all we had, so I can take a motion to adjourn if anybody's ready.
So moved.
And a second?
So seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And dismissed. Thank you.